Precious Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord, and an honor it is to be gathered here this evening. Lord, anytime we have a chance to gather, Lord, to hear that precious word, Lord, you're speaking to us. Yes. Lord, may our ears be open, Lord, and open our eyes, Lord, to what you have for us. Lord, as we go through this life, we have many needs that rise, Lord, at time to time. And Lord, you're waiting patiently, Lord, to meet them needs in each and every life, or whatever it may be. Lord, you want to meet them needs. Lord, we appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, just give us the faith. Lord, give us the revelation we need, Lord, to see our need. Yes. Lord, to move, Lord, according to your perfect will. Lord, just have your way in this service, everything that's said and done. Bless each and every one that raised their hand, Lord, that may have a need upon their heart. Lord, we ask you to take care of it according to your perfect will this night. Lord, once again, we ask for revelation greater than anything else in this life. Lord, we pray for it once more tonight, Lord. If you'll give it to us by your mercy and grace, we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. You may be
hey.
see what you've left for us, Lord, and the urgency of the hour that we feel in our hearts. And Lord, we just humbly ask your blessings upon your word this evening. And Lord, that these few words that we've administered, Lord, would some way help someone, Lord, strengthen, encourage, whatever the need may be. And Lord, we just ask you to take your precious word, Lord, it'll be my lips that's renewing it. But take your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just move it down into our hearts in a special way, we pray. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hope you're happy to be out this evening. Oh, enjoying the wonderful Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Yes. I look forward to it every chance we have an opportunity to come and together. But while you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn over to the book of Colossians. Amen. We'll just kind of start here. I kind of had a different direction I was going to go. It just seemed like the Holy Spirit kept turning me a little bit. So we'll start here and just let the Lord have his way, and praying that we'll be able to say something that will cause us to keep pressing and moving forward with the Lord. But in Colossians, the first chapter, and let's start to pick up here at the 15th verse. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. We think about the things our pastor's been bringing and realizing that little bride has got to come to the fulfillment of God's precious word. The second of the threefold purpose of God was to have the preeminence of his people, to express himself. And he did that through Jesus Christ. And then through Jesus Christ, he would do it in a many-membered body. And as we see that, and we see the things that our pastor has been bringing on the rapture and the faith that's we've got to have for this age, and the understanding, a revelation that can truly change these bodies. And as we think about it, you know, I can't help but as you look around the world and you see the events, and you know, just even this week watching things that are happening, we're sitting on a powder keg. And you know, oftentimes there's been many things, you know, as you go back and look in the prophet's message, and during the time he was here, there was events taking place. Things were happening. And, you know, that urgency was in his heart. What, you know, how much more time do we have? Yes. And you know, now today we're this much farther down the road. The Lord still hasn't come. But we see these events taking place. And even more so today, the things the prophet prophesied that would come and would take place, we've seen happen. And now we see all that's happening in the world. We see the pressures that's building. We see the things that are taking place. We know we are that much closer to the appearing of the Lord. Amen. And how that really should put an urgency into our hearts, as our pastor, he was even mentioning the message desperation with in the token, how that this life must is something we've got to see take place in us. In every action, every motive, everything about me. And if you'll remember, just to put this back into our hearts, this was in the message Spiritual Amnesia, and I read this a couple weeks ago, paragraph 78, but Brother Branham was saying, you must be identified. Somewhere you must show. Your life shows tonight where you're identified. You're either identified either in Christ or out of Christ. You're not halfway. There's no such thing as a drunk, sober man. There's no black-white bird. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're a saint or a sinner, one or the other.
and your spiritual attitude towards God's Word identifies you exactly where you're standing. And we realize God's Word has went forth and plainly declared what a Christian should be. Whether I'm a man or whether I'm a woman, God's Word has went forth and declared what that life of Christ would do in the heart of the little bride. Yes. And each one of us tonight, we stand here as individuals, we've got to make sure that we know without a doubt, as a personal revelation to me, you've got to have a revelation that we know where we are identified. Yes. Not because I go to church with my daddy, I go to church with my pastor, I go to church with my friends, but I know because of what God has done for me as an individual. I know where I'm standing in Jesus Christ. And you know, there's so many things going around today in the churches. People just want their name on a book. They want to be attended. They want to be patted on the back. But when times get tough and the darkness of night and this old world's rocking and reeling and things are getting bad, the pat on the back's not going to be worth much. But what's anchored down on the inside of here is going to be worth it all. And how is, I think, is... I want to turn back into Romans, if you want to turn with me over to the 12th chapter. And the Apostle Paul, as he was beginning here in Romans, and we'll go over into Hebrews and read a few things, but I just wonder how much it means to us. You know, it's so easy to be lulled to sleep. Well, I believe a message and I'm resting, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be there. But this identification has to take place first. You know, think of Noah. When God told him it was going to rain, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. There was no sign of it. But the scripture says Noah moved with fear and went into action to prepare that ark. He was watchful. There was an urgency in him. He didn't know when that rain was coming, but he moved out and took place to do what God had laid upon his heart to do. And today, you know, as individuals, each one of us, I don't know where you're standing. You don't know where I'm standing. But each one of us as individuals before God, we got to know. There's nobody truly knows. God knows us better than we know ourselves. But as individuals, when we're alone by ourselves, we know where we're standing with Jesus Christ. And there's only one person that can change where you're standing. If that predestinated seed is there, is you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal revelation between the two of you. That's a love affair. Amen. And he fellowships you. He fellowships me as an individual to live his life through. And I believe as Paul was beginning to hear in the 12th verse, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12 and 1, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And it's right here. It's laying before us. And don't matter, there's no private interpretation. God moved by the Holy Spirit upon men of old to write that precious word and to put in there exactly what his requirements and standards were. And they have not changed since the day he placed them in that book. And he sent a prophet in this age to confirm and to strengthen and to reaffirm that the words of this book was right and to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to catch that little bride away. So it does as well, as Paul says. We'll read some more. He says, but for I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you know, even as Paul told us in Corinthians, he said, don't measure yourself by yourself, for that's unwise. But we have the guidepost laying here tonight. Each one of us is an individual. If we match the word, praise the Lord. If we see we're in the harness, that's wonderful. If I see I'm not in the harness, this is the time. And that urgency should really be striking our hearts greater and greater. But Paul, as you'll see here, it didn't matter. Even those that knew where they were standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, his urgency and the message that was still pushing out to the people to make sure. And the prophet, I'll just throw this in here as we think about this. This was in the Philadelphian church age, the final admonition to the age. And he read Revelation 3:13, and he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Every age ends with the same warning. It is a constant plea to the churches to listen to the voice of the Lord. In this age, the plea is even more insistent than in former ages. For in this age, the coming of the Lord truly draweth nigh. And the question would perhaps arise, if there's another age beyond this one, why the urgency? The answer lies herein. The last age will be a short one, a quick work of consumption. And not only is this so, but one must always remember that in the eyes of God, time is so very fleeting. Yea, 1,000 years is but a day. And he is coming within a few hours as he views time, then he surely must warn us with all urgency, and his voice must continually sound in our hearts to be ready against that coming every day. Because you don't know the Lord. We know the Lord's coming, but today could be our last day on this earth. Yes. Always a continual warning to be ready at any moments I may be called to go to meet the Lord. Yes. And how that should truly be an urgency in our hearts. You know, sometimes it's easy for people to get to a place to where, you know, it's been mentioned many times, but if the pastor was around, I wouldn't do this thing, or if so-and-so was around, I wouldn't do this thing, but they're not around, so I'll go ahead and do this thing. But the all-seeing eye is watching you. Amen. He's watching me. And that's who we're giving an account for. You're not going to account to this church as far as just this group of people, but you're going to account to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, each and every one of us. And it does us well to take understanding and look into God's precious word for an individual. Yes. You can't go on my revelation. I can't go on your revelation. But God's word is laying here for each one of us as an individual. Yes. And how, as we see, there's so many voices throughout the land today. This is okay. That's okay. You can do this. You can do that. Look at all the denominations. That's why there are so many. One wanted to wear earrings. One wanted to cut their hair. One wanted to have pants. It's okay to wear them during the week, but you got to wear a dress to church on Sunday. Look at the man-made ideas that has changed God's precious word. And it's not exempt in this message. Men are changing God's word from what was recorded. And we as individuals have to guard against that. That is the urgency that should be in our heart as we're crying out for revelation, a true faith. Not in a church, not in a word that we just heard, but in the revelation of God making himself personally revealed to you and I as individuals, that life that he lived would be reproduced in you and I. In every way we think, in the way we talk, in the things we say, the way we go, everything about us be Jesus Christ. For we're to declare to this nation, to this people, that he is alive. You know, I think of Christ as the mystery of God revealed as the seals begin to break forth and you see that message break onto the scene. God showing forth his plan, and then as he began to unfold the word, how it should truly be shaping our lives and the urgency that we should feel. And the entanglement of this world should be less and less as we grow in Christ and we see where we are come from and where we are going and the purpose for which we've been sent. As he goes on, he says, that voice must continually sound in our hearts to be ready against the coming. And oh, there are so many voices in the world, so many problems, needs, crying for our attention. But there will never be a voice so important and so worth attending as the voice of the Spirit. So he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And you know, that's as Paul, you know, as he was starting here, seeing that urgency that was in his heart, he took, I beseech you, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how it should truly continue, as he even said in Romans, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes. And how it should truly be on our hearts to be where we know that word is coming forth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not mixed with a man's idea, not mixed with his feelings, but mixed solely with God's precious word. And that alone, for that alone, is what's going to stand. If you would, let's turn over to amen. Let's see here, got quite a few. Let's turn over here to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Just as we think about this urgency that was burning in Paul's heart, and as he continued different places to express it. And God's prophet, when he was here, I mean, it's in message after message after message. as he was preaching, you can go and listen to just the times that he was stressing to take heed to the word. But Paul in Hebrews 2, he says, therefore we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And how we've seen that. The Holy Spirit was testifying of these things that's been recorded all down through time. And even in this last age, as the prophet came on the scene, the Holy Ghost was there to vindicate the message, was right, and to bring it forth to the people. And how that continued to press, that push, that we don't know what day he will come. We know the Lord is coming, but there's a people that has to be ready. There's a people that's got to come to this place. And there's a decreed season. There was a time and a place. He knows when that is. But you know, the prophet said this age would be cut short. And it was, I didn't bring that quote with me, but when you think about how this last age is going to be a shortest age, and he said, well, Jesus said if it didn't cut short, the very elected wouldn't be saved. And how that should cause such an urgency in our hearts, and as we see our lives, how fleeting they are. Today I'm breathing, tomorrow I may not be. What an urgency that ought to put in my heart today if I don't know for sure that my identification lies within this precious word. Today is the day of salvation. Take heed to the voice of the Lord while you have time. There's a lot going on in life. There's a lot taking place. A lot of things we may think we want to achieve. But there's nothing as important as you'll ever hear as that voice of the Lord calling out to you to give your all to Jesus Christ at this point in time and to surrender yourself to him and him alone. Everything else will take its place in life as its needs be. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, just over, Paul continuing, he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let's back up to the third chapter in the 12th verse. Because you'll remember our pastor was talking about those coming out of, all that came out of Egypt, but only two made the promised land. And that's kind of what Paul was referencing here as he began to get to there. He says, in the third chapter and 12th verse, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom he was grieved 40 years. Was it not them that was sin, had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And remember what the prophet told us, what's unbelief? Smoke and drink, and those are just attributes of sin. We do those things because we don't believe God. And oh my, if we believed him, we would truly take heed to the things that he has said, spoken to us. So think about that. I won't come under subjection to my husband. Where does that put me? Oh, he didn't mention that when he mentioned smoking or drinking, but that's still an attribute of sin because it's unbelief of God's word. If you believed God's word, you'd come subject to God's word. Think about, sometimes we like to pass things off. That's just one piece that was using. It could be the same with a man loving his wife or parents raising our children. God's word, every word that you don't take the mark, you don't believe you have to go that far, it shows that you don't believe God or you would come to that line. Yeah. Unbelief in God's word. Yes. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh my, didn't the prophet say, cry out for revelation more than anything in this life? How even here you can see where the, you know, some, it's amazing how some people hear things the prophets say, but they can't tie it back into scriptures. or they see things in the scriptures, but they can't see how the prophet upheld it. But God is the, it's a vindication and a fulfillment of himself from cover to cover. And God's word does not contradict itself. He said what he meant, and it ties in continuity, but it takes eyes of faith to see the reality of what God was speaking to that little bride. And we might go along and be ever so good at church going. We might be ever so good at the ABC level, so to speak. Pay our tithes, pay our offering, attend, and do these things. But what about the literal life of Jesus Christ being reproduced in our everyday living? It's got to come in every action, every interaction with people, everything we do. Do we stop to think about it? Even amongst ourselves here, as you look, brothers and sisters, do we love one another and honor one another with true brotherly kindness and love? And you know, we can become common to each other sometimes as individuals. It's easy. I'm just your brother. That's, you know, me and Brother Josh, we've been together for a long time as brothers and, you know, growing up together. It might be easy for me and him to look at each other and go, oh, it's just Brother Tim. That's Brother Josh. But that's God's elected. And how I should honor him and respect him. Vice versa, I'm just using us as an example. But how we should truly take that into consideration. Husband to wife. Yes, that's my wife. Yes, that's my husband. But that is God's bride on both sides. How carefully and reverently I should treat each and every one. But oftentimes we can become common to each other. And it's, oh, that's just my wife. That's just my husband. That's just my child. That's just, each one of us could do well to just stop and take inventory. Lord, I'm going to spend eternity with my wife. I'm going to spend eternity maybe with my husband, with my children. What does my relationship here in this life, for what I am here is what I'm going to be there, what does it look like around us? It's all of God's word. When you stop and just let it weigh into your heart and get and looking through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and get on that balancing scale, where do I measure up? Where do I identify with these scriptures and these things that's been left for us? It's just a checking up time. I can't help it. It's what the Lord lays on my heart. And you know, it totally wasn't what I was actually going to bring this evening, but I just kept feeling that just show the urgency that should be in our hearts. Yes. Go back and read these things. Look what I've left for you. Look where your attention should be focused. Yes. I might be a young person. I might be thinking I need to get married and looking at this or looking at that. I might already be married thinking I've got a nice house, but boy, I need a bigger one. I need something just a little more. I need this over here. That's all fine, as long as it doesn't get in the way of God's precious word. But where is our attention focused? Our 6 days of the week, my whole attention is only on living as an American citizen. That's all I can see. That's all I care about is what's taking place around me and everything. Or do I wake up in the morning with that challenge burning on my heart? Lord, this is the day that you've given me the breath to breathe one more day. Yeah. One more day to let you have your preeminence in my life and let my life express you. Oh, why? Am I here tonight? Why am I living? Why am I breathing? Why did I take the time to come and set in a service for? It's things to, what was my motive? What was my objective? Did I feel like I had to be here? Or somebody would say, well, he wasn't at church, she wasn't at church. I don't know what's going on. But what's my motive? Because that's what the Lord is looking on. It don't matter what I see. It don't matter what our pastor sees. Jesus Christ, the all-knowing one, is looking down into each of our hearts tonight, and he knows. From the time we arose this morning, he knew what was first and foremost on our hearts and on our minds. Amen. And it's good to be reminded. You don't answer, as I said, you know, growing up as a child, I knew I was going to have to answer to the church. And I was more scared of that than I was of anything else. That's not the right way to raise someone up. This right here is who you're going to answer to. Amen. And oh my, we should give honor and respect where it's due. But may that burn into our hearts. I'm not trying to answer to a man. I don't answer to a church. I'm going to answer to Jesus Christ. Amen. The church might have its duties and its obligations to keep the word and to uphold it in different scenarios and situations, but you're not answering to a body of people. You're answering to Jesus Christ. And oh my, may that truly not fail to be in our hearts. Even as Ananias and Sapphira, as they answered to Peter, they thought they were just talking back to a man, but they were talking to the Holy Spirit. How careful we should truly guard our words and the approach we take to life sometimes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Let's turn over. Let's see. Amen. Let's see, I'm already right there. Mm. Let's go over here and just read what Peter said. Amen. There's some of this can wait to another time, another place. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter and just renew our hearts to these things. Amen. And we know these scriptures by heart, you know, we've read them. But sometimes it's good under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to just have it placed back into our heart one more time. Apostle Peter, when he started in his first book, he said, I'll not be negligent to put these things always in your mind, even though you know them. And all how we must not be negligent to renew our minds, our own selves, to the things that are laying within these pages. 2 Peter in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh my, looking into that mirror of God's precious word, making sure, where do I identify? Where do I am I seeing the reflection of Jesus Christ? Yes. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some are things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being allayed with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Look at the warning. Even though you're in steadfastness, maybe you think you're strong. Maybe you think, be careful. Look at the warnings that's going out to all ages, all walks of life. It doesn't matter where you're at on that ladder. You might have climbed 10 rungs. You might be on rung 1. You might be at the top. It doesn't matter. The word of the Lord through Peter here was warning us, beware of the wicked unless you fall from your own steadfastness. We each must watch with prayer and supplication, continually in prayer, praying and seeking the will of the Lord for our lives and where we're standing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And just as we think about it, as we look for these things, you know, it's not, sometimes when you read things or hear words like this, it's like, are you trying to scare? No, it's not a scare tactic. It's truth. And that's what you've got to understand.
Yes,
each of us has got to look into God's word and realize there is a truth. There is a consequence. Today, if you go out here in the natural and take a gun and shoot somebody, there's going to be a consequence for that act that was done. And you're going to pay a supreme penalty for it. God's word, there is a supreme penalty for negligence. And oh my, may we truly look and watch for ourselves, that we be found of him without spot and without blemish. By our works? No, by his grace that he has so abundantly shared upon us. For it's by grace you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's what he has done for that little elected seed. But sometimes that we may have our attention a little bit tilted one way, or maybe looking somewhere else and not really having our attention focused in to Jesus Christ. And that is the object and the goal of the Holy Spirit, is to keep us focused and on point. For the purpose we've been sent, we have a work to finish, a race to run. And now is the time to know which side of the fence you're on and where you're standing. And God's word is laying here full of promises, full of truth. And it's ever mindful to keep us renewed, to keep make sure that we don't get lax. And oh, the crowd's going this way. Let me go with the crowd. No, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting.
Yes.
And broad is the way that leads to destruction. Just always remember the words that have been left for us. Remember what has been spoken to us. And as individuals, you can't just go because you can't live on my revelation. I can't live on yours. If you try to just pattern your life after everything I do because I think Brother Tim's doing it right, that ain't going to amount to nothing for you. It's a personal revelation between you and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You must fellowship with him and let him lead and to guide you. And then what did Paul tell us in Romans 13:8? Obey them that have the rule over you, obeying, following the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Amen. And what a consolation it is, and to see that if he ever saved one man by that shed blood of Jesus Christ, he'll save the next one that comes in line in the right manner. And oh my, if he ever healed one, he'll heal the next one that comes the same way. And by God's grace, I want to be found knowing that I, as an individual, me alone, I'm standing in that way, looking for, with no condemnation, and not putting myself back as a sinner, but to stand there knowing that, Lord, what I ask for, I shall receive. Oh my, and see him bring it to pass in due time. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to his name. Just a little few nuggets for this evening. I pray it's, you know, you never know what's on the menu sometimes. You know, it's totally going a different route, but I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wanted for this evening. Amen. So may God help us to feel the urgency, to feel that press, and to keep moving on. Don't get slack. Don't, you know, sometimes it may seem like, what's going on? Are we just a little group of people in this little building and not a lot of visitors? There ain't a lot happening. God deals with the individual. Don't ever forget that. And oh my, it doesn't mean God doesn't deal with a big church. It doesn't mean God's dealing in a little church. But God deals with individuals. And one of these days, we're all going to get together. Amen. And all in perfect harmony and unity around that throne. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you would. If you sisters would come up to the instruments. Amen. Oh, of course, been on my heart on page 61. I'd like to sing it. Amen. Oh, God's grace and mercy to each of us as individuals. How we should be so thankful.
Yes.
And if we're feeling that press, if we feel that draw, it might be small. It doesn't matter. Feed it with all that's in you.
Yes.
As I said, it doesn't matter where you're at. The urgency should be burning in each and every heart.
Amen.
And all of us, don't never lift yourself up. Maybe you higher up the rung than someone over here, but don't ever look back and start to belittle or look down on that person because they don't have the revelation I got. They might pass you up in a hurry. So always be mindful of our littleness and the humbleness of mind, not to think more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. Amen. Good sound advice from God's precious word. Amen. 61 here in our little capstone book. I have found the way that leads to endless day yonder in that glory.
The journey's in led by a
And his mercy. Amen. That precious leading of his Holy Spirit, he's led us to that place. And oh my, if all of us will but yield to him, he'll lead each and every one of us. Oh my, may we truly let him have his place in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. May God richly bless you.
Amen. Aren't you so happy you found the way? Amen. So precious. I was thinking about actually the grace of God today, you know, speaking to many people that never really knew the Lord and never had an experience of a new birth, but it just made me think again about God's amazing grace, you know. And some people there thought, well, praise God, you know, I'm a Christian. I tell people that, you know, I'm a real Christian. Bobbed hair, women wearing slacks, I'm telling you that, you know, you think God's amazing grace. It's just so precious. To the point, so many times, why did you choose me, Lord? Why did you show me your mercy and grace? It just makes you love him that much more. Amen. He's just so dear to our hearts. Amen. We ought to be a happy people. Oh my, what God's doing in our hearts. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for this precious opportunity you give to us. Just so appreciative, Lord. And I was thinking, as our brother was talking about the consequences of maybe something we do wrong, Father, maybe we'd have to pay a price for it. But Father, we know by grace and mercy that, Lord, how precious it is that instead of consequences, it can be confidence. Lord Jesus, a confidence in knowing that you're in us. Father, you said in your scripture, and we read it so many times recently, in that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, the Father is in me, and I'm in you. And Father, this day is here. The Lord of people could know, and Lord, we could have that confidence that whatsoever we ask when we pray, that you'll give us the desire of our heart. Father, we are so thankful for these things. May we go out through life, Lord, and express, and let this life be identified in us, and Lord, be declared to this nation, this people, that Jesus Christ is alive. And Lord, may that be the desire of our heart. Thank you for the word tonight. Just let every word of it sink deep into our hearts and find a good ground for it to lodge in and to grow, to sprout, Lord, and bring forth a greater life. So we ask that you would do that for us now. And just watch over as we travel back home, go to our different places. And Father, David said, may we keep thee always before us when we sin not against thee, O God. And may we by grace be able to do that. So we ask now, thy will be done in our lives remain this week, and may we give you the glory for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Just keep loving him. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed.